O Lord, God of vengeance. O God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O Judge of the earth. Repay to the proud what they deserve. O Lord, how long shall the wicked, exult? They pour out their arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob does not perceive. Understand, O dullest of the people. Fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord, knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from days of trouble, until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot slipped, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Can wicked rulers be allied with you? Those who frame injustice by statute, they band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my stronghold, and my God the rock of my refuge. He will bring back on them their iniquity and wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord our God will wipe them out.
Hello everyone. My name is Brian, and let me add my welcome to Phil's. It's lovely to see you. And yeah, please do come and have a chat if we haven't met before, after the talk. So, in February 2015, a video emerged showing the execution of 21 Egyptian Christians. These men had been kidnapped by Islamic State militants in Libya. The video showed these Christians kneeling on the ground before they were beheaded by the militants. A caption made it clear that they were targeted because of their Christian faith. It referred to the victims as people of the cross, followers of the hostile Egyptian church. I wonder, when we hear these heartbreaking stories, how do you respond? How should we respond? I suspect most of us will feel angry. Even if we're not Christians, we are still outraged by this atrocity that these innocent people have been killed. Well, this is what the psalmist felt in today's psalm. He feels really angry about the persecution of God's people. He cries out to God, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? In other words, he's saying, God, when will you judge the murderers of these people? They mustn't get away with these crimes. And so today's psalm is relevant for us today in the 21st century because it tackles the issue of injustice. It's what's known as an imprecatory psalm. There are around 17 of these in the Psalter. The psalmist sees oppression of God's people all around him. and he is deeply distressed by it, and he cries out to God for vengeance. As we go through this psalm together, it will help us to respond rightly to the persecution of God's people. So let's dig into this psalm together now. You'll be able to follow along on your handouts. I've got 3 points, and the first point is this. The wicked are crushing God's people. The wicked are crushing God's people. Let me read verses 3-7 for us again. O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and they afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner. They murder the fatherless, and they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. Now, I think we've become more familiar with the words wicked and evil in recent days. In the newspapers, we've seen descriptions of the murderer, Lucy Letby. She's been described as wicked and evil for the murder of 7 babies who were under her care. And I think it's right that she is described as such, you know, for these terrible crimes that she's committed, and it's good that she's faced justice. In today's psalm, who were these wicked people? Who was the psalmist referring to? Well, for the original readers of the psalm, I think the wicked were the foreign empires who governed the Jewish people between the 6th century and the 1st century BC. So these were the Babylonians, the Persians, and the Greeks. If you were here last week, which I think quite a lot of us were, you may remember our speaker Tom mentioning these empires in his talk. And so for the Babylonians, they captured Jerusalem and they carried off the Jews off to Babylon. So think of Daniel and his friends in the Old Testament book of Daniel. And then the Babylonians were taken over by the Persians. I think of Esther and Mordecai in the book of Esther. These were Jewish people who lived under the Persians in the Persian Empire. And to illustrate the cruelty of these empires, let's have a think in the book of Daniel. Do you remember the fiery furnace? Very well-known Sunday school story. The 3 friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had done nothing wrong, but they simply refused to bow down to the statue of the king. And yet they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They were condemned to an excruciating death. Or as another illustration, I think of Esther. Do you remember the plot by the prime minister of Esther's day, Haman, to wipe out all the Jews, to annihilate them? Let me just read one verse from the book of Esther. Letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with instruction to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, and to plunder their goods. So the prime minister of Persia was plotting to wipe out the entire Jewish nation throughout the Persian Empire. And in modern terms, this would count as ethnic cleansing or genocide. And so we see from these examples that God's enemies really did try to crush God's people. They wanted to get rid of them, to kill the widow and the sojourner. And these wicked leaders boasted in their wicked deeds. They weren't ashamed of their actions. They wanted others to know about their evil exploits, just like the Islamic State militants did by filming their executions of the Christians in Egypt. And these proud rulers even claimed that the Lord God was blind to his people's suffering. Did you notice that? They say, oh, the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob does not perceive. Do you see how shocking this is? They are implying that they can get away with mistreating God's people. They can kill as many people as they want. they won't have to face up to any consequences. Well, in the world today, as we saw at the start of the talk, the wicked are still crushing God's people. Not only Islamic State, but others as well. We are mostly shielded from what is going on because the media doesn't really pay much attention to it, doesn't give much time to the persecution of Christians. But a report commissioned by the Foreign Secretary in 2019 found that Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world. And in some parts of the world, it is at near genocide levels. According to Open Doors, a Christian organization, over 5,000 Christians were murdered last year, and another 5,000 were abducted from their homes. North Korea has been at the top of this list for being the worst persecutor for a number of years. Hundreds and thousands of Christians have been imprisoned, tortured, and even killed by the authorities in North Korea. Just a couple of months ago, you may have seen this in the news, in Uganda, Islamic militants slaughtered 38 children in their boarding school. The children were singing gospel hymns when the militants arrived. The militants then proceeded to hack the children to death with machetes. And only last Friday, several churches in Pakistan were burnt to the ground by Islamic mobs. For us in the city, we haven't experienced anything like this, but we still experience a much milder form of persecution. I know of friends who've been summoned before HR for sharing the gospel with colleagues. In extreme cases, we may get sacked from our jobs for choosing to stand with Jesus. I know of at least one person who used to attend the Moorgate talks who was sacked for being a Christian. At this point, it's worth saying that Christians have also committed terrible atrocities. The Crusades are the most obvious example. The Spanish conquistadors inflicted great pain and suffering on the people of South and Central America in the 16th century. Nearer to home and in more recent times, Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland have done awful things to each other. Christians need to acknowledge that we too have oppressed other groups, other religious groups, and we should be ashamed of these sinful acts. But the main point of the psalm so far is this: the wicked are crushing God's people. And so that begs the question, who will avenge God's people? Who will give them justice? Who will hold the Islamic State militants and the North Korean rulers to account? And so we now come to our second point. The psalmist wants his readers to understand that the Lord will bring justice to his people. The Lord will bring justice. Let me read verses 8 and 9. Understand, O dullest of the people. Fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? Do you see that the Lord is the creator of humanity? He made the ear and the eye. So of course, God sees everything that goes on in his world. He's not blind to his people's suffering. He sees the decapitated Egyptian Christians. He sees the North Korean Christians being beaten up in the labor camp. He sees the Ugandan schoolchildren who are being hacked to death by the Islamic militants. And he sees the Christians who are sacked for telling their friends about Jesus in the office. God cares deeply about his people's suffering. He is grieved when they die. But not only does he see their suffering, he will also act to bring justice to his people. Verses 14 and 15 tells us that he will not forsake his people. He will not abandon them. Justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. And so at the end of the day, at the end of history, the Lord will rescue his people from all of their enemies. He will avenge them. I love the Avengers films. Has anyone else watched them? Yeah, a few people have. Great. The job of the Avengers is to protect the weak and to punish the wicked. Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor, and the rest of the team work together to bring about justice to the weak and the oppressed. They can't defend themselves, and so the Avengers have to step up to protect them and to bring justice. Well, the Avengers are, of course, made up, but God is the true and the ultimate Avenger. He sees all the injustices in the world. He knows that his people are being oppressed and killed, and so he will not abandon them. He will bring them justice on the last day. So when the Lord Jesus returns, he will do so. He will rescue his people and punish the wicked. If you're unsure of this, well, read Revelation chapters 20 and 21. God promises that the wicked who persecute his people will be thrown into the lake of fire and punished, whereas the righteous will get to live in the perfect new world. The North Korean rulers and the Islamic militants, if they refuse to repent and believe in the gospel, will get the judgment that they deserve. Okay, so we understand now that the Lord will bring justice to his persecuted people. So what does that actually mean for us? Well, the next section of the psalm tells us, verses 16 to 23, cheer up and pray. The psalmist expresses his deep confidence in the Lord in our final section. He is consoled by the fact that the Lord is the avenger. Let me read verse 19. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Do you see? In the deepest, darkest times of distress and frustration, he is cheered up by the Lord's promise of rescue and protection. The psalmist himself has experienced this rescue. Let me read verses 17 to 18. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. So the Lord has already saved the psalmist from death. The Lord has become his stronghold and his rock of refuge. He is protecting the psalmist right now. And there was, of course, the experience of King David. Even though he was hunted by King Saul, his enemy, he was protected and rescued by the Lord time after time. And then in the New Testament, we know that it was the Lord Jesus' experience as well. He was unjustly condemned to death by the Roman authorities. He was put to death on the cross at Calvary. But on the third day, God raised him up to life, and he is now seated in the heavenly places. And so having experienced the Lord's rescue, the psalmist is confident that the Lord will destroy all of his enemies. The psalmist is sure that the Lord will destroy the wicked one day. And for those of us here sat right in this pub, we can also share in the psalmist's confidence. We have already received new life in Christ. We've been raised with him and we enjoy his protection right now. And so even as we experience oppression, we can be confident that the Lord will destroy all of our persecutors one day if they refuse to change sides. The Apostle Paul says in Romans, in the letter to the Romans, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He's referring to the enemies of the gospel, that they will soon be crushed by God. And so having this assurance of justice is really comforting. It means we don't have to fear what our enemies may do to us. Yeah, they may lock us up in prison. They may even kill us. But God will avenge us on Judgment Day. Our enemies will get the judgment that they deserve.